Alrighty. Welcome, everybody. I did something a little different this evening. I extended an invitation to the Allens, to the Pushes, and to the Rensinks. I felt in my heart that everybody's going through some difficult times right now, and where we get an extra zhuzh from having a meeting like this, I thought I would give them the opportunity to share with us this evening Father's message, but also a lot of things that HS and I have been working on for the past couple weeks. And these things are not just for guardians, they're for everybody. They're for all of God's children. So we usually start the meeting with a prayer. And then after the prayer, I teach, we do a short meditation session just to clear our minds, to get centered. And during this time, Father sometimes calls us to him and he gives us things. So we'll start with a prayer. I also give you my peace. Father of love, we come before you first. We unplug ourselves from this world, and we focus now on you. It is because of you that you've given us this opportunity to come together as a family, as your children, but also, Father, as guardians. We have a huge responsibility, and we enjoy these moments that we can have with you where you speak directly to us. And then HS shares things with us that give us a deeper understanding and meaning and purpose. We are excited that we have a few new guests with us, and we pray for them as well, because we know in our heart, Father, all of us struggles with different things, whether that be a monetary situation, a physical situation, but the most important thing is if we're struggling with a spiritual situation, then you are able to actually step in, even in this meeting, and help us with that. There is extra strength that we receive in these meetings, and we're thankful for all the opportunities you put us through to teach us things. But in this hour, we can let go of all of that, be whatever it is, and we are not bothered by it. We lift from everybody whatever it is that's troubling them, and we put it to the side in your name, that we can sit for a moment, Father, at your feet, and we can receive your peace as well and your instruction. It is the love that you've had from us before time began that brings us together in this evening hour. And there are desires that rest on the hearts of everybody that is here and joined with us. See those desires, Father. Grant answers to those questions and help them with the process of becoming the bride. We all want to come home, Father. So we seek your face, we seek your word, and we're thankful for everything you'll prepare for us in this evening and everything you'll share for us. Know, Father, that we bow to your will, and in accordance with your grace, we thank you for everything. Please hear us. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So we're going to start with a little meditation. So if everybody wants to close their eyes, start by taking a deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth. Tell your body to relax. And ground yourself. If you haven't grounded yourself prior to getting into the meeting, I'm going to smack you. The guests wouldn't know that. Smack you with love. With love. Ground all seven of your chakras. Five to the earth. Six and seven to Father's chair. He did get a bigger chair, so he can accommodate all of us. I'll explain to you, Diane and Jamie, why we go to Father's chair with the two top chakras in a minute. Take a deep breath in. Tell your body to relax. For some time now, we've been grounding our sixth and seventh chakras to Father, because those two chakras are spiritual chakras, whereas five through one are earth. So we attach the first five to earth and the other two to Father's throne. And when we discussed this with him, he said, I'm going to have to get a bigger throne because everybody's going to be attaching to me. I find for myself when I do it this way, I can think clearer. I can feel and see things a lot better than I used to. So take a big deep breath. Father is ushering us. He has invited us into the throne room. He again has a large circle table and is asking all of us to take a seat. He is standing in the middle of us. It's almost like a King Arthur's table, which I have often told Father that that is always my desire, that when we come together as a team, we sit in a circle because no one is greater than anybody else. I just get paid more than all of you. But anyway, we'll discuss that later. Take a big deep breath in. Father is raising his hands and he said, I just want to give everybody a blessing of peace, of strength, of clarity and understanding. It should feel like a warm blanket coming down over us. You should feel your heart calming. Father said, focus on him. Look at him in the center of the room. And do not take your eyes off of me. He said he's wearing a new robe, so you should appreciate him getting all fancy for you. Father's also wearing his crown, which he does not always do, but he has that much respect for you as his children that he wanted to present himself in a way.
We lost you.
Can you hear me now? Fred, please don't mute me.
I didn't.
Okay, well, all right. I said, if you didn't hear, Father's standing in the room. Did you hear the gifts he wants to give us? Did that come through? No, you didn't hear any of that. Okay, so we got to rewind. Father is standing in the center of us and the table that surrounds him. He has his hands up and he said he wants to give us first peace, understanding, and clarity and strength. He said, please look at him, focus on him. And Father is wearing a new robe. So he said, you should appreciate how he prepared to look nice for you. And what touched me the most is he's actually wearing his crown, which Father doesn't always do. And that is out of respect for you, that he wants to present himself as the king, the royal king that he is, because he knows we all respect him in that capacity, but also that he is our father. He is now pulling all of us closer to him. Take a deep breath. He said, let go of your fears. There is no place for fear in his kingdom. There is confidence, there is a surety, and there certainly is comfort. Take a deep breath. Father is walking around the table now. And he is putting his hand on everybody's head. This is a father's blessing, which he's done in the past. But this blessing is specifically for you as an individual, not as the team. He said, many of you have prayed to me and asked me for special things, spiritual things, not monetary things. So it is his joy to give those to us right now as he walks around the table, putting his hand on us as the apostle seals souls. That is exactly what Father is doing now. Father has tears in his eyes. He said, look how far you've all come in your faith. Did you ever think that you would be before me like you are right now, receiving a blessing straight from my hand with no proxy, of an apostle or a minister. You've eliminated the middleman and now you're buying direct. Everyone take a deep breath. He's finishing up now. He is so very proud of all of you with how you fought through your faith to get to where you are today. We will discuss in greater detail during the meeting of Service for the Departed coming up, but he said, you have to understand all the souls that see how you are as you should be. Faithful children, you are all examples for them. And he said, thank you. Yes, he's thanking you. He said, now get out of here and get back to where you're supposed to be. When you're ready, open your eyes, focus your attention. I see my sister Cindy is on. Welcome to the meeting. I will explain to you and the Allens how this works. After the meditation session, Father and I talk, and he dictates to me a letter that I share with the team. After that's read, then we open it up for anybody to have any comment or questions or anything that they'd like to expand on. And then I have two other portions in the meeting that I do every month. One is called A Deeper Understanding, and the other one is known as Interesting Tidbits. And then I have an itinerary of topics for discussion. So we will start with Father's message. I met with him yesterday, and here's what he had to say. He, I should also tell you, has a lot to say, which is not his normal process. I would say Father's usually short and sweet, but this is actually 2.5 pages long. So I will read this slowly so that you can absorb it. And he said, my dear children, I love you. I feel in this time, we just do not hear that enough. All we hear is the negative. As you know, I am not negative. Please receive also my peace, joy, and strength within this greeting. We live in an exciting time. Can you feel the winds of change? The world is on its way to hell in a handbasket. Satan himself is holding it. He is like a running back carrying a football, and all of you are the defensive team trying to strip it away from him. Look at me using sports metaphors for the first time. I actually love football. Do not tell anyone now. And then Father laughed. He continued, he is a cunning player. He knows our playbook, which is why he is so good at playing this game. I speak of the world as a playing field. I do not speak of my plan of salvation as a game. Know this. I have been teaching you the game for many years. This world and all the evil in it. You are warriors on the game field. You do not have helmets and padding. You have the garments of righteousness, the armor of truth to protect you. I also have armed you with many weapons: love, kindness, understanding, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, relentlessness, a servant's heart, compassion, and many, many more gifts. Use them. We are in the end time now. For years, all have known this, but few actually understand what that means. I will now go deeper and explain it to you. The end time means that the fabric of this world will now be torn apart. The security that mankind believes it has will soon become evident that it does not. All will feel vulnerable. They will turn to one another for comfort, but will receive none. Those who feel they are in control will experience for the first time in their lives that they are completely powerless. Many who are faithful will fall away. I speak of our church and all religions. The only ones that will remain faithful to me will have to fight for it. Those who have known financial security will lose it. Those who rule over others will fall. True anarchy is on its way. It will be worse than the riots this world has seen. Everything that many believe to be true will get a foul taste of reality. What am I speaking of here? I speak of all the religions that have twisted and created pure lies about me, Jesus, and salvation. Now, my dear children, I did not share this with you to scare you. Well, mostly not. I tell you this to continue your training and preparation for all that is coming. I have already given you my word that I will keep you and your family and loved ones safe. You are my truth tellers. You are my heart. You are the bringers of my salvation, just as the apostles do. The apostles use the sacraments for salvation. You have pog, full armor, shield, and sword. The apostles are in the front of everyone to see. You are unseen in the back. Together, you make a love sandwich. Yep, I just made a joke. But I am also stating a fact. The plan of salvation requires them and you. You are unseen for a reason, to protect, defend, and help mankind and the future bride of Christ. In time, very soon, all will see you on the earth. Eternity already sees you. Satan and his forces certainly see and fear you. Now, I have to tell you what kind of an impact you guardians had on eternity these past few weeks. It was amazing to see all of you light them up. Where there was no joy and love, you gave that to them. Where all they felt was desperation, you inspired them to fight and move forward. You gave comfort to the lost and to the scared, to the angry, and to those who thought they were justified in what they felt. You brought clarity and gave sight to those who were blind and destitute. This is the true work of salvation for the bride of Christ, my dear ones. You are doing your job, and I thank you. Now, I will steal Trilan's thunder a little. We have a new guardian that has joined your ranks. I am so very excited that the final team will soon be completed. Trilan will share his details later with you. Please know how very proud I am of all of you, not just the guardians, but all of you, for your love and support. We are 2 weeks away from the service for departed. Remain active, all of you. Spread the word and share with the others your experiences of faith. You can go into eternity as much as you like. Please make more time to help your brothers and sisters there. Once more, your father loves and supports you. You can unmute everybody. Does anybody have a question, comment, or anything they'd like to add? We're all still muted there, Fred.
There you go.
There you go. They are now not.
Blah, blah.
Anybody have anything they'd like to add?
Always so much to take in and be able to add something right away
after hearing it. Yeah, that's why I felt I should read it slow, because my fingers were killing me by the time we got done. It took me a long time to gather all that with him. He's like a speed talker, and I look at him sometimes and go, I need better help here to type. Okay, slow down.
Just hook up your speech to text function in your head.
Yeah. I keep telling him I need an executive assistant, so Michael should learn how to type.
There you go.
He says his hands are folded with his sword and shield. Lazy. Okay.
One question.
Sure.
Well, I guess it's a question. When Father says we can visit as many times as we want, a few times I went, it's very debilitating. So you would recommend how long waiting in between visits, I guess?
I will throw my wife under the bus and have her share with you this exact thing.
Okay. That was a look.
Did you like that?
Hey, they is that what love looked like?
No, I was just trying to. I was trying to figure out what exactly I'm supposed to be saying right now. Excuse my voice. Allergies are
for 1-900 numbers.
Lula Lenska.
So I had experiences where it was very debilitating for myself as well, and I was nervous per se to go into eternity, just because I know that it does take a lot out of me. So I guess I'm not sure what I'm supposed to say. What I do is I just go, and Jesus, you know, is with me, and I just ask Father to cover for me whatever strength that I'll need. And so far, so good. Because when I first started going into eternity several years ago, it was very, very challenging, very taxing on my body. But for whatever reason, I'm not as debilitated going into it. Is that what you wanted me to say? I don't know.
Just trust.
Just trust. Because I've gone into some darker realms. Usually the darker of the realms that I go into, the more debilitating it is, because it's more more energy more that the souls are taking from us. But I had a talk with Father, and we were discussing it, because I would drag my feet, and I was the person of, you know, procrastination, because I didn't want to. And so I was pleading with him to cover whatever. And actually, when I started going back into eternity more, I would go into realms that I knew wouldn't be as taxing on my body. Mm-hmm. I built, I guess, part of a tolerance for going back into eternity, but then Father also covers whatever I need, because he knows of the concerns that in. So I trust. That's trust and ask.
Okay.
And bribe. No.
Bribe. Thank you.
If you have the desire to do something, Father will go out of his way to make sure you are able to do that. Okay. Cool. And so talk to him about it. Jesus was with me the whole time I went. We'll get into that a little bit later, but good question. Anybody else? Okay. I have a deeper understanding for Cindy and Greg. We have Father's message, and then I have a deeper understanding portion I like to share, and then an interesting tidbits portion, which sometimes has absolutely nothing to do with faith. For instance, we discussed numerous times how Father still creates animals to this day, hundreds of different species, and some animals that man knows have gone extinct. He likes to throw them back into the mix just to toy with them. So that's what Interesting Tidbits kind of falls under. But this month I actually found something that has to do with spiritual, so a deeper understanding. What I try to do is go a little bit deeper with whatever it is that I want to share with you. And HS and I have been talking about this for some time now, and he and I spent time yesterday putting this together. The portion that we pray in the Lord's Prayer, we've discussed in the past that it's important that when we pray the Lord's Prayer, that we're in that prayer, and that we don't just use the words, mouth through them, and then think we're taking care of our soul life in that moment. Prior to the prayer and prior to the service, we must prepare ourselves. In this section, I decided, as we forgive our debtors, this must happen before we pray the Lord's Prayer. The first thing we have to do is forgive others. We have to take the time to think about it. You can't just glaze over it during the Lord's Prayer with a blanket. Yeah, I forgive them all, Father. And you know who they are. You got to stop. You have to think about the person or persons who harmed you, and then actually talk about it with Father. You're not going to talk to him. You're going to talk with him, because you need to go into greater detail as to why you were hurt or what happened in the situation, because he wants to hear from you why you feel the way you did and why, for some reason, you would hold this against that person. And I can guarantee you, because I've done this myself, when you're sitting there speaking to him, you kind of feel like you're stupid that you've been holding something against somebody else, because he forgives you and I without a second question or guess, right? So we need to explain to him why we do. We have to get deeper to the point of what happened and why we feel they crossed us. And if you can get a little farther in this process and pray for them, we might start to understand these people and understand why they acted this way. And when you and I have better understanding, we become like Jesus, because he knew exactly why the person was saying what they were doing or doing to him, why they were acting the way they were acting. And that's why he had a leg up on us and didn't hold anything against anyone. The second thing we have to do is forgive ourselves. I don't think we've ever thought about this, but we ourselves are debtors against our own soul. We must not forget to forgive ourselves. There's a difference between asking for forgiveness and forgiving ourselves. When we ask for forgiveness from Father, we're asking him to forgive us for what we did against him, for all that we created the distance between him and us. Through this process, we bridge the gap, and that brings us closer to him. We want to take time to go over our sins, talk with him again, and not at him, about what you recall and what you did to hurt him by sinning. No matter how embarrassed we are, you got to go to the crux of the situation. For myself, I know I'm always bringing him the same sins I did last week. I'm bringing them to him on Sunday, and I'm sitting in front of him, and I'm like a little kid with a bunch of jacks on the floor, bouncing a ball going, well, let's just talk about these now, right? Forgive what we did against our own soul. We're not our body and mind. We're our soul. What did our inability to control our desires, anger, and emotion do to our soul? Think about the things you did that hurt your soul and talk to yourself about them. When you do this, you might find out that we don't do the same sin over and over again because we have assigned a hurt or a detriment to it. Maybe we're going to pause a little bit because we actually now feel how crappy we felt when we did that. For instance, if we judge somebody, it's so easy for us to judge somebody, but now we've just sinned against ourselves, basically. We've hurt our own soul. Stop. In this moment, we might learn to love ourselves and accept ourselves too. We may then push to become more sinless. Does anybody have any questions or anything they'd like to add? You're all so talkative. Of course, Fred has you all muted.
I think it's interesting that I personally have never thought of it in that way before, as far as forgiving yourself. Like, you're basically persecuting your own soul by not forgiving yourself.
Right.
It's right. Interesting.
I never thought about it either. That's all HS. Anybody else?
Wow.
Just when you think it's easy, he throws us a curveball.
And you do this just before service, or you do it in
I do it
moment?
During the week. During the week.
So, okay.
The minute I do something stupid, I immediately say to Father, I'm sorry.
I've been doing
that. And then later
that.
During the day.
Sorry, I'm trying to formulate a question. I can't.
Go ahead.
So when we ask for forgiveness right away, then it's done, or do we do it again on Sunday? Or
when we ask for no, it's okay.
You know what I mean, I can't formulate.
Yeah. When you ask for forgiveness, you're actually atoning for what you did.
Okay.
To receive true forgiveness, you have to repent, and repentance is where you actually discuss with Father why you feel the way you do, and why you did it. And then we always try to tell him we're not going to do those things over again. And then we end up doing them again. And that's where I'm saying that if we were to take the time to really understand why we did what we just did, we might hesitate in the future to stop doing it, because it gets embarrassing when you got to sit in front of them, right? And go into detail why you were a goofball, why you thought it was okay for you to judge this person and swear at that person and take out your anger on this situation. And then he shows the mirror of what we look like when we're doing this. We don't ever think about that. How does Father feel when he's watching us make idiots of ourselves? And he sits there quietly. And that's why it was brought out. The sin that we do against him hurts him. That was a whole new way of looking at sinning for me. I always thought sinning hurts me, right? We don't think about, as parents, you would understand, right? When your kids do something, it breaks your heart. And you want the best for them. And you want them to try harder. And that's what Father wants from us. Does that all make sense? Okay.
Better. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? All right. Interesting tidbits. I thought about this. We're aware that the New Apostolic Church is the second sending of the Holy Spirit. This is known as the birth of our church, the New Apostolic Church. What I didn't know after I investigated a little bit was that Frederick William Schwartz founded the New Apostolic Church on May 25th, 1863. It was known as the Universal Catholic Church at that point. And it wasn't until 1906 that they adopted the New Apostolic Church. When they sat down and formed the College of Apostles, HS was sent at that time, just like he was on Pentecost. Flaming tongues appeared over these guys' heads. And HS rested on them and filled them with his life. And the second sending was established in that moment. I just thought that was cool. And I felt I should share that with you.
Nice. Very cool. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. We're going into topics for discussion for 100 points. Fred. I would like him to share with you. He came up with a great idea we were discussing this week, that Zoom actually is not an encrypted site. Anybody could hack in and get our recordings and do whatever they want. Fred found a site that actually is encrypted. So starting next month, and you'll receive new invitations, we're going to go to an encrypted site. So I'll let Fred share that with you.
Basically, the new site's called...
Oh, I want to go a little deeper. Go ahead, Fred.
Basically, the new site is called Zoho.com, Z-O-H-O. You'll probably have to download the app. They say it's browser-based too, and you can do it that way. If you'd like to test it out before the next month's meeting, send me an email and a good time for you to meet, and then we can do a test run on your computer or your phone if you want. So But starting next month, we'll be switching to a new platform. If you have any questions, email me, text me, or give me a call.
Thanks,
it's also,
Fred.
It's also encrypted, which, as Trilin said, they can't hack into it as well. And there's other benefits too. So
it's less expensive than what he's currently paying to support us, which I'm very thankful he's willing to do that for us. So thank you, Fred. There's your blessing.
Say, as Grandma would say, guilt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Guilt. Guilt.
Okay. So Father stole my thunder and told you we have a new teammate. It is Helen Horn. Woo-hoo. Welcome, Helen, to the team. Her guardian name is Marina, and I will share with you why. Father derived this name from aqua, or water, of like containing water, which he instilled in them, and I'll get to the them in a minute, the water of life. A special form or variety of this liquid that is pure and clean to supply souls with water for drinking to edify and nourish. Father said, Jesus told the woman at the well that he had the water of life. This is the water that I will give her to help souls. When they thirst, you will saturate them. When they are confused, you will clarify. When they have no strength or are weak, you will fill them with this water. You will wash away all doubt and fear in them. You will teach them about me. He also told me that he created Marina from aquos, just as he created Eve from Adam. And the two of them share similar gifts, the biggest one being the water of life, that they will share that water with souls to help them down their path. So we welcome Marina. I'm going to train her and Aquos. You know, he's only been on the team for 3 years. He should get his crap together. Anyway, that's my fault. We're going to start trying to train in 2 weeks. So they will be inundated with information and the fun process that is to be hazed, to be on the team. Everyone keep that to yourselves. But anyway, so we're going to skip religions because Trisus was in the hospital on Friday, and I'll leave him to share with you what that was all about. As you can see, he looks drugged and wasted.
My body is deciding to do weird things. I've had digestive problems for years, so I decided to follow the rule of lessening your liquids while you have these issues. And apparently I caused distress on my kidneys. On Thursday, the doctor gave me an antibiotic that's used. Everybody here in the building practically has kidney problems. They're all older. So I, of course, wouldn't just take it. My body reacted quite negatively. At the same time during the week, three people here got COVID. So they wanted me to go into the hospital to make sure I didn't have COVID. They didn't have any regular tests here. So I spent 14 hours at the hospital Friday. At some point, they recommended me for a study because they thought I had a stroke, which I didn't. I don't know how that happened. And by about 11 o'clock, I was looking at the wall going, I'm done. So I said I wanted to be discharged. They all were quite upset, but I know I didn't have a stroke. So, and they weren't looking at my kidneys and the test came back negative. So I was pretty much done. So I arrived back at my domicile at about 5 a.m. Saturday. So I'm waiting for the doctor here to try to prescribe something. That's why Fred started the meeting suggesting maybe it's kidney stones, not just something of an infection. So I'm fighting that. I could use your prayers, please. So I'm running at about 50% right now. So that's the whole truth. Thank you.
Definitely praying.
You're muted.
Silly.
You're muted.
Okay, it's my first day. That's take okay. the place. So the religions, Q has put something together. So Q.
Okay. So Fred, if you could put it up on the screen, I'll give a little overview of
you want how, the chart or do you want the Dart article?
Say that again.
You want the text that you want this one? Or do you, or the do you want the article that you have?
Yeah, yeah, the two-page document that I just sent you today.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Just so everybody knows, we're probably going to go a little over. Did I mute myself again? No. We're going to go a little over. We're probably going to go till 7 today because I got a lot. We got a lot to share. So, Q, I'm just going to say, skim through this quickly. They can read it on their own. This okay? is, thank you.
Absolutely. Okay. But if we can go to the top first. Can I click on it? No, I don't think I can. But if you can just go to the top, Fred, so they can see the beginning.
It is at the top. It's not showing?
No.
No.
Okay, let me. Why not?
Maybe if you just click on the page, because it looks like second page is clicked on.
Yeah, I clicked on the page. It was showing earlier. Hold, let me stop the share and I'll share it again.
Okay, so I'll basically tell you how I found this. So what I find is absolutely amazing as a minister. When I prepare, I take it very seriously, and I'm amazed what Father gives, what the Holy Spirit awakens. And I came across this Bible verse, which is the main one that we'll talk about. It's Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and through 19, just two verses. And it just came alive. I understood it, and I had read it before, I'm sure, but it's so beautiful. And it really, it's amazing how well it goes with Father's message, because we're living in a really ugly time right now, and it's just going to get worse. And people are all about this world. And it's not about this world. It's about our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the fact that they want all souls to live with them. And man gets in the way. So I put together this sheet, and it starts out, I'm reminded of, everybody has heard, fellowship with the world is enmity with God. We heard that so long, so much. Well, we interpreted that to mean we shouldn't associate with anybody else except New Apostolics. And I think a lot of people did that. But then I thought of that word a couple of days ago, and I prayed about it, and this is the understanding. Fellowship with the world is an enmity with God. The world is what's in the world, the spirit of the world. It doesn't say fellowship with souls in the world is enmity with God. So it's just the worldly part. So Philippians 3, 18 through 19, I will read the New King James Version from our Bible. And it states, for many walk, let me back up for a second. This is Paul speaking to the apostolic members in the first church in Philippi. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. So first of all, let's talk about that. He said, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now I tell you even weeping. He's taking this very seriously, and he is sad that people don't get it, because he gets it. He persecuted and he was brought around. But he says that they are the enemies of the cross. And you think, wow, that's terrible. Boy, I don't want to be the enemy of the cross. And then you read on and you find out how they became the enemy of the cross. Verse 19 says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. So now we'll start at the end. Who set their mind on earthly things. Those who, and I hate to say it this way because it sounds terrible in my mind, but who take this world too seriously. It's a blink. It's a blip. If we live to be 100 years, 100 years compared to forever, it doesn't even register. And we're here for that short of a time. And anyone who takes it too seriously is potentially becoming an enemy of the cross. That's how clearly I saw it. And I thought, cow, this is huge. And it said, now, whose end is destruction? We get that. Whose God is their belly? What that means is, whatever, when we're hungry, we crave things. Well, there are things in the world that mankind craves. You name it, they crave it. And whose glory is in their shame. There are so many things that are in the world and people say, it's really not that bad. Don't worry about it. You know, it'll be fine. Shameful things. And we think it's okay. And I say we because, you know, mankind, that's what we're talking about. And you look at that. And it's so clear that we have to love our Heavenly Father above all. We have to love our neighbor as ourselves. We can't judge. And it was interesting that the Apostle Orlovsky sent something to the brothers that basically said the same thing. And he stated that if we pick a topic, if you pick a side, one side or the other, you're going to have enemies. And he used wearing a mask. Some think, you don't need to wear a mask. That's ridiculous. I'm not wearing a mask. And others think wearing a mask doesn't even come close to being enough. So you see the opposites, right? And he said, we can't do that. And when you read through these pages, you'll see that it's so clear. And you know what? Because we don't have it up. Oh, we do have it up. Okay, so if we can go down to the bottom, the second page. So you can see it's all in different Bible verses, okay? So now this is an interpretation. And what I'd like to do is end in a couple minutes, but then I'd like to just ask you to read the third chapter of Philippians yourself and, you know, go to the website, look at this sheet, and kind of get it for yourself. This is someone's interpretation of this. And what's really sad is that it misses the mark so significantly. This person interpreted Paul as talking about people who walked on the dark side or didn't accept Jesus or any of that. And that's not what this is about. Paul wrote the letter to the Philippians, the congregation there. And he talked to them and said, be careful, don't do this. And this individual who wrote these things, you see in green, those are my comments. So take some time and really delve into this, because this is the kind of stuff that we have to know in order to help individuals. And it's not that we say we're going to judge this person for misinterpreting it. That's how most ministers in the world throughout time do it. The only way that we can do it the right way is to ask the Holy Spirit and be open and then serve the truth. Any questions or comments?
Thank you.
Thank you.
One second. I'm moving things around.
I'm going to shoot upstairs.
Just so the guests understand what's going to happen next, I asked the guardians last month to take time to go into eternity. Pick a realm out, ask Jesus to help you if you need to, and go there and be who we're supposed to be. So I asked that in this meeting, they would share briefly where they went and what that realm was about, and if they want to share a little bit about what took place. So I'll go first, and then we'll go in the next order with Tranquility. You'll be after me, and then Q, and then Nucleos, and then I'll go from there with who's up next. So I was grabbed by Jesus, and he dragged me into eternity, kicking and screaming, right? No. We went there, and he took me to five different realms. I picked two because these two kind of stood out for me because they're almost basically the exact same realm, but they're different. And the first one he took me to is called the Traveled and Weary. And these people looked sick, is the only word that I could describe it. And basically the theme of this realm is that they lost their faith and they gave up. They just stopped. And their realms looked like they were hoarders. So they're still holding on to their idea of what they think they should be doing, but all they're doing is accumulating negative thoughts and other people's opinions instead of seeing what the truth about it is to get out of it. So I had a little bit of a chat with them. I inspired them. I shined light on them. I gave them hope and peace from my heart. And I told them to stop listening to everybody else. Just listen to our brothers and sisters. Okay. Then Jesus took me to a realm called the Smothered. This is a realm where these souls have so many sins to account for. They don't know where to begin because they're so overwhelmed by the truth of their lives. And I never really thought about that. And this has a lot to do with other denominations and churches where they were told one thing, and that's not the truth of the situation, and where they believed they were going to be in heaven with Father. Now they're here. And now every single sin that they thought they accounted for and paid for, there's millions of them now that they're sitting and smothered in. And I did the same thing. I told him, if you want to find a way out of that, follow the truth, which is our brothers and sisters in light. Okay. Tranquility.
So I wasn't really sure where I should go. So I did ask Jesus if he would inspire me and come with me. And when I went, I saw a sea of children, so many children, just like a big field of children. And the nicest thing for me was that my mother was in the middle. And my mother was telling me that we should keep praying for them. And she was telling them that they had no need to fear because she loved them all. So it was quite a moving experience for me because I do have a soft spot for children as it is. And then to see my mom there, and it was almost like a Sound of Music type thing for me experience, just seeing all those children. So it gave me a reassurance. I always pray for the children. I pray for those that are aborted, miscarriage, stillborn, those that have been died when they were sick or abused. I always think of the ones that perhaps others don't think of. And so it was a nice confirmation for me to know that my mom is helping to care for them.
Thank you. One other thing I forgot to say to the guardians and everyone else that's on this call. When you went into that realm, those souls may have put something on you. They may have put their grief, their sadness, their pain. And as these 2 weeks progresses, souls are going to come to us again. And we may not even be aware of the fact that they're doing this. But I'm going to encourage you that the minute you feel more depressed or sad, or out of the blue, you just have this emotion that you don't know where it came from, give it to Father. Just pray a small prayer and hand it over to Father because it is not ours to carry. But they don't know who to give it to help them. And because we went in there, they're like moths to the flame. Well, here's some hope and here's somebody who can help me. So remember that this week, okay? If you're extra tired and worn out, give it to Father. Okay, Q.
So I had a nice opportunity. I went with Jesus this time instead of Michael. That was nice. And we got to a realm and I looked at Jesus and I said, it's cold down here. Is it really cold down here? And the next thing I knew, I saw my breath. And I said, wait a minute, this is spiritual. He says, I just want you to know it's cold down here. So it was interesting. And then we looked up and then I realized the gravity of the situation because I didn't laugh at the time, but you know, it was interesting that he said that it's cold down here. It is the realm of the false righteousness. And it's from almost every denomination, every belief, but it's those who felt that they were right and justified to judge others and condemn them, torture them, and kill them. And not all of them, not everyone that was tortured was killed, but they thought they were doing the right thing. And so they're angry because that's what they believed and that's what they were taught. And many times it's the leaders who they listened to who sent them out to do these things, but they really felt in their heart they were doing the right thing. And now they are in a dark, cold place. And so that happened within seconds of getting there. I knew who they were. And then I looked to Jesus and he said, no, this is you, go. And so I just talked to them. And I told them what we talk about, that this is Jesus. Hope is available. And you've heard of him before because you used his name. But he is love. He is peace. He is grace. He is hope. And Father's plan is for all souls to be saved and you can be helped. Forgive those who you are holding that against and be forgiven. And believe those who come to visit you because we will continue to pray for you. And so we've done that. And I'm sure that many of our brothers and sisters in faith who've been there to visit them and help out. Another experience more recently.
Just get one, buddy.
Okay, thanks.
We don't have time, sorry.
That's just quite one. All right.
Okay, thank you. After Nucleos, it's going to be Starlight, and then Blazer, and Aquos. Nucleos.
So I wanted to go somewhere new. I have a couple realms that are my go-to, if you will. But I went to Jesus saying, hey, I don't know where to go. Where do you want me? Lead me. Please help me. And he told me beforehand because it was going to take a bit of preparation rather than just poofing us there. And we went to the realm of the assaulted. And when we got there, he didn't actually come in with me. He stood at the door, if you want to call it that, and led me in, said, this is you, you've got this. And I went in, and it's hard to describe. There was a certain darkness that I hadn't really felt before, but it also felt fiery, if that makes any sense. And as I looked around, there were countless chambers. I mean, for every situation of assault that you could imagine. And souls just started pouring out of these chambers all at once. And it took me by surprise. I didn't know what to do at first. So Shamuel and I just raised our hands and spread love, which came out of our hands as like this pink mist. And I didn't realize why we were doing it at the time, but thinking back now, it was to clear the air to make a space where we could actually commune and where I could talk and share Father's love with them. And I went on to speak about the importance of forgiveness and told them that they can come to Father anytime. They need to get to a point where they can forgive the people that did them wrong. And only a handful of them seemed remotely interested in leaving their place.
Thank you. Starlight?
The realm that I went into had to do with lemmings. And lemmings are essentially people or souls that don't necessarily think for themselves. And so when I went into the realm itself, it was fairly light in the front, but then the deeper that you went into the realm, the darker that it got. There, I know that that realm itself was filled and with many, 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 many souls, but there were only a few of them that actually came out and I was able to talk with, and Jesus was there. The interesting part of this realm was they weren't able to think for themselves, but now I'm asking them, you know, they were like a, how do you explain it? Like they were like, it had like a brain, like the crowd mentality where they were all thinking as a crowd rather than thinking for themselves. And now I'm asking them to think for themselves and to, you know, follow Father and believe when they're there for believing in something, but they weren't thinking for themselves. So it was kind of it was an interesting conversations to have with them. The newest thing that happened was I was able to actually take a few of the souls out of the realm, and we stood outside of the realm, and they were able to see and hear and feel what, you know, Father has to offer for them. And so they were actually able to see it and feel it for themselves, which I believe will help in, you know, in them deciding that they want to move forward in their faith, that they want to overcome themselves. And then they had to go back into that realm. But I know that the souls that came out were able to, when they went back in, they were able to have conversations with the other souls that weren't necessarily so forthcoming. And I believe that's about it.
Thank you. Blazar? You're muted, Blazar.
Ah, okay. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now.
Okay. So I went and met with Native American tribes. It was the seven major tribes that surround the Yellowstone and the Great Basin region in Wyoming, basically. And so gathered there with Chief Keta Kitching, and there was a number of the chiefs of the specific tribes. They kind of joked that they didn't want the Sioux to be around because they were such jerks back in the day. So and I said, well, we got to talk to them anyways. But I sat down with them and we spoke about who Father was. And I mentioned to them about how God is not a European God, that Father is just is the creator of heaven and earth, and he is the creator for all men. And it's just not a European God that it was imposed upon them, you know. And so we discussed, you know, and it was a lot of conversation. And then that's when Faith Starter popped in, and I talked to them and I told them to listen to what Faith Starter had to say, because he's going to work with the Native American groups. So it was pretty cool to see that. That's it.
Thank you. After Aquos, it'll be Atmos and then Trisus. Aquos, please.
So, Jesus took me to a realm and it was extremely white. It was blind. I didn't know where I was at first. And at first I thought I wasn't doing it right. And then it cleared up and I realized I was in the realm of the redeemed, and saw all, you know, countless souls and chief apostles and leaders. And we were there to strengthen them and pick them up and, you know, help keep them going. Sweet. And I looked around and for my grandpa, and I couldn't see him. And then I, you know, went to one of the corners and there he was, very ashamed almost. He had his struggles, you know, when he was alive, and then he had some road bumps in eternity and he was ashamed. And when I saw him, that's what he said, and I kind of said, come on, you have nothing to be ashamed of. And I was able to give him a great big hug. And that was the first time in a long, well, since I was a kid that I was able to do that.
And this is your mom's dad?
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah. And so we stayed there, gave them all energy, blessed them. And that was that.
Wonderful. Thank you. Atmos. And hello, Danielle. And it's nice to see Sandy in the meeting too.
Hi. So I went with Jesus. Seems like most everybody had Jesus taking the wheel on this, which should probably be dangerous because yes. We all know he doesn't have his license.
This is true.
So he took me to the realm of the lost, which was pitch black and cold. Reminded me a little bit of hell. And in the realm of the lost, the souls that are there have never known any type of religion. They've never known God. They never knew anything like that existed. And so when you see them, we lit the place up, and it's a huge realm. When you see them, their eyes are almost like mirrors. It's weird. They just reflect the light out of their eyes. They can't. It's almost like they can't see the light because there's something that reflects the light from their eyes. So we could only talk to them and let them know. And basically what I do this in all the realms, especially the ones that are really rough. I tend to plant, you know, the new apostolic flag. And Jesus actually said, let's put, you know, a cross here. So there's a big white neon cross, so to speak. And it's nice and bright and it gives off a warmth. And these people are stumbling along in this realm that's completely black. They can't see. And they don't know why they're there. So how are they supposed to ever be able to get out of it? They don't know what happens after they die. And they don't know why they're there. So we planted this flag and this cross, and it is a pipeline of love and information to these individuals so that they can slowly start working their way out of that realm.
Thank you. Trisus.
Okay. So in my home here, Most of the folks are older than 70. Quite a few are in their 80s and 90s. Before we had the pandemic, we all ate dinner together in the dining room, and I befriended a table of ladies, really nice, super wonderful. One of them, Polly, is who I'll be talking about. She had really bad problems with her body. You talk about a body failing and not wanting to cooperate. She couldn't eat. Sometimes it's the food here, but she literally couldn't eat. They couldn't figure out why she couldn't sustain herself and wouldn't be able to take in nutrition. So they had her on supplements. I would see her occasionally when she needed help with her phone or her tablet. I'm the miracle man, she called me, because I would just touch it and it would work. Well, because I knew what button to touch. Didn't do anything special.
Shh, don't tell them that.
Yeah. So of course, you know, and I talked with her daughter, talked with their son. They're, oh, so thank you so much. Really had a great time talking to her. She, big family, real nice lady, but her, because she was so miserable, this topic always came up to, why isn't God taking me? Why am I here? Why do I have to go through this misery? It was tough, let me tell you, because she came in, she showed me pictures. She was probably over 200 pounds. And by the time she passed this last December, she was less than 100 pounds. She had problems with edema and you know, congestive heart failure. And the last few months, like October, November, December, she was in the hospital quite a bit. Luckily for me, she was out when I was out. In between the two times I was in the hospital in December, I had a chance to talk to her. And again, I said, you're here for a reason. We can't discuss why God does things. We can question him, but I suggest you pray and just ask for strength. And I told her, I pray for you every day, you know, for strength. And she was just miserable. And she complained, but everybody gave her that latitude because everybody knew how miserable she was. She wasn't this crabby person. She was such a nice person. Unfortunately, in this building, they don't announce when people die. They just don't show up. It's like a science fiction movie where so-and-so, I don't know, you know. They say it's the HIPAA laws, which is crazy because when you die, the HIPAA law goes away. I think it's just they don't want to cause more strife or sadness. Unfortunately, one of the other ladies at the table walked in on Polly, and Polly was gone. Freaked Dina out, literally, like they had to take her because she had such a wrong, she almost had a heart attack. They were best friends. They'd been together for 7 years. And when they call an ambulance, the body goes out in a bag in front of everybody. So it's just a weird thing here. So the ladies put two and two together that it was Polly. I asked Trilin, can I go visit her? And I had a strong compulsion. I'd never had anybody on my heart so much. So, he said, sure, you know. I asked Father, of course, for the final, and he said, sure. He said, but she's not going to talk to you. Oh, really? I'm the guy who fixed her tablet. I mustered up the courage, meditated, got strong. And then this was in January. I had my lead take me there, and he said, we're not going in the realm. Excuse me, your mouth is dry. He said, we're going to go into the entrance. He said, that's not a good place. I said, you got to be kidding me. And he said, as nice as she was, she still has sin. And she complained a lot. I said, okay. So we got to the front of the realm, and it was like a prison. That's how it showed up to me. The doors opened, and it was just wall to wall to wall to wall souls, dark, like we've all experienced. There was no room. It was sad. I mean, they were literally like if you've seen the people trying to get on the trains in India, kind of just that, just this ocean of bodies. And my lead, Jolie, said, we'll light it up and you'll be able to find her. She was standing there and she turned around and I looked and went, Polly. And of course I wasn't in my armor. I was just in white, whatever we wear, linen. And she looked at me and was confused. I said, it's John. Didn't really quite get it. And I said, I'm here to talk to you. And she looked at me and she says, I'm not talking to you. I said, but Polly, I came a long way. We should talk for a little bit. Don't you want to talk? No. I said, then I'll talk. I said, I can help you. I said, there's a way out of this. I said, you know, you've passed, right? She goes, yes. You know, I don't know. Sometimes souls don't know that they passed. I said, I'll continue to pray for you. And even the other souls didn't turn around. It was so strange. Like all your experiences so far is like when you go in, at least there's somebody that comes out. These souls just stayed facing in. It was very sad. I said, I'm going to buy. I went to touch her and Julia like knew, you know, like I wanted to just pat her on the shoulder and he pulled my hand back. And it was sad. I came back to my body and I said, I don't understand what happened. And Jolil said, he goes, she's in a realm completely consumed by herself. And I actually just asked him what the name of the realm is. And he goes, there's many realms called indifference. This is one of them. I said, are there worse? And he goes, yes. He said, the problem is they don't even want to discuss. He said, so keep praying for her. We can keep coming back. But I thought there'd be a better reception because we was always told if you pray for somebody or talk to them, then maybe when they get there, they'll have a different understanding. Unfortunately, the emotions and her anger and everything that consumed her here was brought right there to the realm. So yeah, it's going to be a project. On a side note, I pray for my ex-girlfriend's mother. Monica's mom committed suicide. And I've been greeted the same way in hers. She's Catholic in a realm, horribly conditioned, chains. She won't even turn around and look at me. So I work on those two. But yeah, I thought there'd be a better opportunity or a happy situation, and it wasn't. It was very debilitating. So I will continue to pray for them and go back to that realm.
Thank you. I think that what Trice has experienced is a lot of what our brothers and sisters experience when they go to eternity. We kind of think that it's kind of like the soul mill down there, and that they always have success and they always are doing great. And then Aquos is ushered into the realm where our brothers and sisters are, and he's asked to cheer them up. We constantly hear they need more prayers, so we need to pray for them more. I wanted to do this because we always forget how destitute, despaired, and lost these souls are when they cross over to the other side. And they're almost forgotten. And it's our responsibility as children of God to step up and remember them. So I'll ask everybody to pray for eternity like we do. But now we have a little bit of an understanding that goes a little bit deeper with what our brothers and sisters experience there too, with what Trisis experience. So now we can pray a little bit different, that Father gives them strength to cope with. They're like salesmen, right? They come to the door and they keep getting the door slammed in their face. Well, after a while, you're going to get discouraged. So I'll ask that of everybody. I have a couple more things, but Kathy Henderson had an experience and it fits with this whole theme. So I asked her to share it with you, Kathy.
We're changing places. Hold on.
We have to change seats.
Kathy's nervous. She gets nervous when she's in public speaking. So everybody make her more nervous.
That's right. Everybody.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I just wanted to say, I shared part of this with Trilon 2 weeks ago, and now he's asked that I share it with you also. Every January 8th, I always wish Elvis Presley a happy birthday. Last month, I did the same, except that it was in my car on my way home from work at 11 p.m. I also prayed for him that Father would take care of him and help him with whatever he needed. Oh, I'm having a hard time because of what all you experience right now. I did not know he was new apostolic until Trilon told me 2 weeks ago. As I saw Elvis sitting in my front passenger seat, his face turned towards me and it morphed into Evil Stitch with these great big ugly shark teeth. And I don't know if you know Stitch is the character in the kids movie Lilo and Stitch. Mm-hmm. Okay, but it's a round face, looks like it's got these great big pointed ears like a cat, and then there's ugly, like really big shark teeth from ear to ear, and then the eyes are black, and it's just ugly looking. And it was the exact same evil face that I saw in my mother-in-law's hospice room 11 years ago. I saw my deceased father-in-law stroking his wife's hair, and then he turned and looked at me and morphed into Evil Stitch that said, "She's mine." On January 8th, I told Evil Stitch that he didn't scare me and I would continue to pray for Elvis. It showed its sharp teeth for 20 minutes and would not go away. I wanted to stop the car and walk the rest of the way home, which probably would have been about 5 miles, and I don't think I could have done it in the middle of winter. On February 7th, Fred and I talked about this experience again. Fred had the thought that it was Elvis' twin that I saw. So I started researching and found that Jesse Garen Presley was Elvis's identical twin brother that was the firstborn but was stillborn 86 years ago. Because the parents were really poor, Jesse was buried in a shoebox in Priceville Memorial Gardens in Tupelo, Mississippi. Tupelo, okay. I can't pronounce these things.
No problem.
It was reported that the grave was unmarked. There was a stone, probably like a big river rock where he is buried, just without a name, next to the graves of his great uncle and great aunt. This was kind of many think that Elvis struggled with survivor's guilt. And an author by the name of Whitmer wrote that Jesse was a restless spirit who eventually haunted all of Presley's relationships. Elvis would talk to Jesse in his room. Elvis made a grave for his identical twin brother at Graceland. And now this starts to all make more sense to me that I probably saw Evil Stitch last month because it was Jesse Presley that I saw in my car and not Elvis. So now I'm thinking and feeling that Jesse may be trapped in a place between the world of the living and the realms of the dead, a gray zone, if you want to call it that. And I recently saw a program lately that described how a group of individuals had a crossing over ceremony for a person that had died many years ago, but still continued to be in the place where it had passed away, kind of like a haunt, just haunted the living all the time. And then after the ceremony, all seemed light and bright for the living. And so that's my addition for the day.
Thank you. I wanted her to share this because I had no idea he existed either. So I'm going to ask everybody to remember Jesse, okay? I have two things left that I'd like to share. I know that at times you and I focus a lot on the world, because that's where we live, and the reality of our physical body and our financial situation and everything is here in this realm. I don't know if I've told you this, but the earth is a realm all by itself. That's where we have to dwell. So sometimes we may feel we're trapped in our own realm. If you and I seek heaven first, then all this other stuff doesn't really matter to us. If you and I focus on this world and all the negative and all the things that are coming, crumbling in around us, then basically what we're doing is we're allowing Satan to be our professor and we're his students and he's filling us with this garbage. We are better than that. Now, in that same stream, I would say, when you're down, and you're feeling down and you're feeling lost, go to Father. Someone said to me, I, I'm having such horrible time, and I go to Father and he doesn't say anything to me. And that's because of our free will. He can't live our lives for us. But I know for a fact, if you go to him, he's helping you. You just don't know it. And he may sit there and not say anything because he's already placed inside of you the answer, because you've been in services. You've read scripture. You've been in these meetings. And he is the truest of teachers. He's not going to give you the answers. He can't. But what he has done for me, I'll share with you, is there's been times where I've just sat on his lap and cried. And he's held me. And by the time I'm done, this issue that I thought was the worst thing on the planet is not that big a deal. And that's because I decided to move forward and leave it alone. If we seek the kingdom of heaven first, everything else falls in place. We need to focus on that. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share at this point? We've got a few minutes left.
Would it be all right if I shared something?
Sure.
So I kind of had a crazy experience in the last month, for far more reasons that I want to get into. I have sort of not shunned, but looked away from my gift of sight. And we have this remodel going on in our basement, and my cousin, who's also a priest in our church, who is super, super uncomfortable with anything from eternity. It's just not his comfort level. Mm-hmm. And so it was interesting because he was downstairs working on this job in my basement, and he came upstairs and he goes, "Sandy, I don't like this, but your uncle is downstairs and he says, why are you shutting us out?" And I said, "What?" And he said, "He wants to know, why are you shutting us out?" And it was just kind of a real eye-opening experience for me to go, you know, when it's uncomfortable for us, or maybe we get overwhelmed, they still need us. And there's a reason that they come to us. And, oh my gosh, I just shut you out. I don't want to shut you out.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing. The last thing I thought I would do, which I forgot to do last month's meeting, is to share whose birthdays are being celebrated. So in January, Nucleos' birthday was January 12th, and Aquos' birthday was January 22nd. So big happy birthday to you, gentlemen. And then February, we have Cindy Waters on the 14th, and Trisis is on the 28th. So happy birthday to you folks as well. Our next team meeting will be Sunday, March 14th, which is daylight savings. We all get to lose an hour that day. Thank you, everybody, for participating and being a part of the meeting. And I'm thankful that we had a few guests that were able to join with us too. And I've asked Blazar to close the meeting in prayer. So Blazar, please. You're muted.
Okay. Kind and loving Heavenly Father, we stand before you with our hearts before you, Heavenly Father, that we may be able to do the best that we possibly can to be profitable servants, Heavenly Father, that our first inkling can be, our first reaction can be to serve you and to bring forth peace and to bring forth love and understanding, that you can guide us and lead us in every way, that in order for us to be the best servants possible, Heavenly Father, and be with each and every one, Heavenly Father, they need your strength, they need your understanding, Heavenly Father. We walk in this life of faith, Heavenly Father, and sometimes we fail, but we know that you are always with us. We, Father, praise you and honor you and give so much love towards you because you are our everything, Heavenly Father. And Father of love, we ask that we can be able to put you in the center of our life, Heavenly Father, that we are able to always seek you and always find your presence and your shadow over us, Heavenly Father. Be with the sick and the weary and the heavy laden, Heavenly Father. Be with Trisus, Heavenly Father. Strengthen him. Give him the nutrients necessary in order for him to be strengthened and that those infections can be removed. And Heavenly Father, let those antibiotics or medication, Heavenly Father, that a blessing can be placed upon them, Heavenly Father, that nothing, no evil, no bad side effect can occur to him, Heavenly Father, but that his body can be renewed, Heavenly Father. And Father of love as well, as we think of Sammy, Heavenly Father, who is fighting each and every day to get through this, Heavenly Father. And we think of Liz as well. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you may be able to help him, Heavenly Father, and that he may be able to overcome this. And Father of love, as well as the so many who sit in the hospital bed or in a nursing home who feel alone, Heavenly Father, strengthen them and feel, let your Holy Spirit comfort them, Heavenly Father. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And we just want to tell you that we love you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Guardians, one last thing. I forgot to tell you that I updated the Guardian Dailies to be a guardian, a servant, a priest. The Guardian's Power and Authority, the Prep and Process for Giving a Quantum Energy Healing, and Archangels and My Commanders, and the Chief Guardians list. I'm going to email that to all of you right now. I would advise you to go through them all and get up to speed because we've changed a lot of things. I've changed a lot of things. I want to make sure that we're all on the same page. So thank you, everybody. I love you. Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.